Well, I made a note in one draft of this about the fact that we read on this day that same gospel that we heard on the first Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter Day, the second Sunday of Easter, Jesus and Thomas and that whole crowd. And I think one of the reasons we read it is because it bears repeating, even in such rapid succession. Somebody else is sharing a screen here. There we go. So I just mentioned that as an aside now. But today's propers almost make us want us preachers, or some of us, or me, make us want to say, stop, enough. Save some of this for one of those other boring Sundays when the readings seem to offer so little fertile ground for a sermon. Look at what we've got here: tongues of fire, perfect understanding, varieties of gifts with one spirit, one body, greater work than Jesus' own, the spirit of truth within us. And each one of those phrases is a good start for a sermon in itself, and we've got them all. It's just not seemly. Looks like the church is a kind of spiritual spendthrift by lavishing all this good stuff on one single Sunday. On the other hand, if there's one day in the church calendar that deserves that or merits it, what better day than today, the Feast of the Holy Spirit? Day in, day out, isn't this God's promise to us that right here, right now, this advocate is with us? This is Jesus' own promise of our never being alone. And how God squanders that divine gift on us. What flamboyant tongues of fire, absolute divine understanding. All of this is an elaborate way of telling us that God speaks our language, the language of our hearts. Of course, they all heard the message in their own language because this language of love cannot be bound by limits of human language, cannot be dammed up by insistence upon any kind of bottom line, will never be thwarted or stifled by well-reasoned arguments or debate about morality. On that 50th day after the resurrection, God's spirit of truth burst through all barriers, outran all prejudices, swept away all human categories and conditions. So we have an advocate. With whom do we need an advocate? Are we afraid of God's judgment? Do we need to an advocate to argue our case before Satan or something strange like that? Well, much has been thought and said and written and preached about this. And finally, I don't think any of that matters very much. What if the Holy Spirit is our advocate without an object, without someone to advocate to? What if God is simply in our corner always? For most of us, it would be more than enough to have this divine presence within us to be an advocate for us against those other voices inside us. So this is God's constant championing of our cause against those other voices declaring that we're no good, not loving, not loved. Maybe that's the most important single arena in which this perfectly clear voice speaks that language which transcends language, that territory within us. The Spirit of Truth proclaims the truth within each of us, that we are God's children, created by God's love, in God's image, and that God loves us unstintingly. Yes, there are those other voices as well. You're not smart enough, financially secure enough, energetic enough. In short, just not enough. But God's loving voice overwhelms all the rest, all of those. When we allow ourselves to hear that language of the heart in our heart, we're transformed. However fleetingly, when we allow the other voices to quiet themselves in order to hear God's voice calling to us. When our hearts respond to that loving language, we are set free to speak in the same idiom so that others may hear it too, from God through us. That is eternal life. That is the kingdom of God. That is our calling. In those times of transformation, when we encounter others who seem so different from ourselves, by whatever criteria we employ, we discover that we're not in competition with them. We have nothing to win or lose. We needn't compare ourselves to them. Instead, in those moments, we know, having heard the message in our own inner language, that we and they are not we and they at all, only we. And together we can act in harmony as one body, living the life of grace and compassion that God intends for us all together. Well, of course, we should have an embarrassment of spiritual riches in today's reading. And it's more important than ever to remember this when so many forces seem to be pulling us in so many directions. We see at this moment all the peoples of the world experiencing one single challenge at the same time, this pandemic, in a strange kind of solidarity, or at least a call to solidarity. Loving responses abound. Campaigns to raise funds for protective equipment, food and medicine, people handing out food on the side of the road, music played from windows and porches, moments of silence shared in appreciation for those who continue to work through the pandemic for the common good. Weekly hours of prayer, such as that by Daughters of the King, for those who suffer and those who care for them. And yes, in the midst of all of what I've just mentioned, horrific examples of brutality and racism, of desperation and frustration also emerge. Demands to end our isolation and demands to take greatest care when we want to let down our guard. What a maelstrom of competing forces. What seeming chaos. Kind of like that scene on that original day of Pentecost. Whatever else this period of time is, this day is the day of the Spirit, the day of overflowing grace and peace that defies all odds, ignores all obstacles, fills our hearts and our church and God's creation with the superabundance of love that knows no bounds. Let us, against all odds, rejoice and give thanks and be glad in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.